What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Wipeout Podcast. My name is Fernandez, and each and every episode, it's my goal to bring you innovative concepts and conversations with experts who live at the intersection between movement and mindset. And my guest today truly does deliver on that. My guest today is Joachim Hildesen. You might have heard of Joachim before. If you haven't, he's a world-renowned flexibility coach online. You might have seen him popping up on Instagram, where him and his students both demonstrate crazy displays of end-range strength and flexibility and control. And my favorite thing about Joachim is that he's not just a great coach and incredible practitioner himself, he's truly an innovator. I love this conversation because he really pulls back the curtains around his method. Joachim not only goes deep into the first principle of how to develop flexibility sustainably and how to program for it, but also how to balance flexibility training and other training pursuits such as muscle gain and strength training, as well as his perspectives on how to be the best coach that you can be. If you're a coach, a yoga teacher, Pilates instructor, I'm really excited for you for this episode because you're going to get so much out of it. Without any further ado, I'm going to get into it. So please welcome Joachim Hildesen. I'm always interested in how people arrive at doing what they're doing and the kind of why behind you do what you do as well. And so for anyone who hasn't seen your stuff before, how do you describe the way that you train and what's your why behind this kind of weird, fantastical way of training that you've arrived at?
Yeah. I don't look at it as fantastical, but it's something that's usually I always been good at sports, you know. A lot of things come somewhat natural, like form, you know, certain types of application, just the understanding of the sport. And like, if I apply myself in a certain sport, I get good at it at relatively fast pace. You know, you pick up on that when you're a kid, you know, like you improve maybe slightly faster than your friends in just general kind of sportsy things, right? But flexibility, my man, I'm bad at it, you know? Like, I mean, you obviously see things that are good. Like, you see a lot of my strengths, but like, there's so many amazing weaknesses that I have. When I started, it was just something that I think is beautiful, right? Like, a person with strength and flexibility is beautiful to see. It's like a thing to watch, you know? And I got like, because, you know, repetitive bodybuilding 10 years in a row. I mean, like, what's the goal? What's the purpose? You get bigger, you get a little bit smaller, you get bigger, you look and you're staring in the mirror, you know? Like, that's the only thing you're doing. But then if you're like starting to use your body and like creating shapes, or the beauty of it was something that caught my attention a lot. But then just starting, you know, it's like I realized for the first time in my life, like, this is something I suck at so bad. And I guess the challenge of it, of making something that you're bad at and just trying to turn it into something that you're good at, that's like what? Because I'm an obsessed kind of person. Like, I start something and I usually have a few topics, right? Like, I can talk about a few topics, you know, but like super broad, I don't really go so broad because I zoom in a lot. And so that occupies my mind. And just because, you know, I had to learn so many things and figure out so many things. And like, there's 7 years later now, there's areas of my body that are still like, they're looking like a beginner. You would say that I don't stretch, you know, like, I mean,
can you give me an example?
Mind boggling. Oh yeah. Like, I mean, just a cold tailor pose, you know, like feet together, butterfly stretch, cold. Like, make me do that in the morning. I spent years on that. My knees are up. I'm like, how does this work? You know, and you could say like, you could like, for a client of mine, maybe I would say like, hey man, I mean, it's possible. I'm improving. Don't get me wrong. But I'd be like, hey man, we're probably not going to work, 5 years straight. So something happened. Maybe let's do something first that you respond better to, right? Let's get that going. But for myself, it's like, why? No, I could do something else, right? that makes me improve in a certain way, or just, but I want to figure out why my body hates this so much and just put my time and energy in the hardest thing for me. You know what I mean? And so it's constantly thinking about how do I progress this? Even if I suck, and even if I have to suck for 5 years straight, which I do, of course, warmed up, I'm flat in a tailor pose, right?
Sure.
But like cold, and like how these things, like it's just mind-boggling to me that it just can be this way. That it can be. How can it be this way that you spend so much time doing something and your body is still like, yeah, I don't know, you know?
This is super interesting to me. Like, so what I'm kind of getting from what you're saying is early on, you kind of had a bodybuilding background, but then originally, like, the kind of beauty of the flexibility shape is someone that has that combination of not just kind of, you know, relaxed flexibility, but also the ability to control it was very beautiful. And also the challenge of going into something that you really didn't feel that you had that same natural capability with, and then yeah. going into the battle of like that long-term thing of like, I'm going to fucking figure this out. And this is something that I know you, you've worked with John Yuen, and so have I, and I've interviewed him as well. And this is something I really see coming out in his work as well, is the idea of training as research, and about not just trying to find the answers outside of yourself, but going inside of yourself and experimenting on yourself and coming up with new novel ways to do things. That's also an incredibly rewarding process as well. And I think that's something I've seen a lot from following you and also working with you for a little time as well. How much you've been able to innovate on the kind of things that you've learned in the flexibility space as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's rewarding. That's like, I'll pick up on that. It's very rewarding if you are not good at something for a long time and all of a sudden something starts working. I mean, it's nice, you know, that's like, tick this box off, you know, fucking nice. Okay. On to the next. And then also some of the innovation, I mean, I think I'm probably not the most original person or this or that, but I do understand that I have brought forward some interesting ideas or show some interesting ideas once in a while. Because the fact of the matter as well is like, if you're starting in flexibility and you want to make it further, you want to like improve on your knowledge and be a good coach, you have to kind of feel out and understand a lot of things, small things. And this is a benefit of my body responding so slow to flexibility. Not everywhere. I mean, I'm a really weird mix between somebody who responds fast in certain areas and then extremely slow in other areas. And you don't really see that too often, just like me, because people are generally like slow responders or fast responders with a few hiccups. But for me, it's really up in the air. It's like everywhere. But so the innovation kind of comes because you try things that you see. For example, you do a workshop with somebody around flexibility, a teacher that is, you know, ahead of you, and they're talking about certain principles and positions that are important. For example, they're talking about lunges, and you're feeling out a lunge and you're understanding that this is a very important concept for creating very good hip extension, to create like a front split line without doing an actual front split. You understand the value of the positioning, but the way they addressed it and the way you're doing it over a year's time doesn't give you any results. You start thinking like, okay, like, I mean, I need to change something, right? And that's when like being a slow responder makes you become an innovator, because like, and it's not in special things. It's not in like something extraordinary. It's usually the simplest things that like when you explain it to somebody, it makes a lot of sense. But it takes me 2 years to figure out because I have nobody telling me,
yes.
Right? So then we start playing with, okay, how can I drive in a lunge? How can I apply more force? Because the force that I'm able to generate free in space, just in the middle of the room, and I'm doing a lunge, the force that I'm able to produce from my glutes and my, you know, my extensors, isn't enough to overcome my strong hip flexor. So like, what do I need to do? I need to tweak the positioning. Maybe I need to hold on to something. Maybe I need to push into something forward. So I lock myself into place and am able to drive more force through that back leg. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, in one session, now I can go further because I have more internal drive just using that tool. And then you're like, okay, this was a step that's never explained to me. But this is actually for a person with a strong hip flexor that resists a lot. This is what you need to be doing. So, okay, there's a step there that I didn't see, right? And because you're doing the same things over and over and not really responding in the best way, you just constantly reflect on it, right? And that's where innovation, I think, comes from. Because if, like, you have different flexibility teachers, of course. There's people that always have been into flexibility and had a knack for it. Like, I just call them the fast responders, right? They respond really well to flexibility training. And what you need to realize about fast responders is, like, there's 7 to 10 roads that lead to the same outcome. Because, like, if you gave them a loaded progressive stretch, you know, they will move forward. If you give them a passive stretch, they will move forward. If you give them a ballistic stretch, they will move forward. I mean, like, everything that you do, it makes them move forward because they respond very well to training. But then if you're a slow responder, probably you only have one road that actually produces change at a certain time. You know what I mean? And so it's like, you try this, you try that, you try that. I was like, okay, this is not for now. This is not for now. This is not for now. Oh, this seems to produce some change. Okay, let's do this for a few months. And then you build on that. So, your total knowledge, like, that's why I can talk about flexibility a lot, you know, because I have something to say as I've just been thinking about it so much. You know what I mean?
100%, dude. This is I really love this, man. I think there's going to be a few coaches listening to this as well. And I think, I know earlier on in my experience as well, it's very challenging for me to think about how am I going to differentiate myself. Through that time, I was also training, and especially I'm also very similar in the sense, super fucking slow responder in terms of many, many different things. I just don't have a supernatural affinity with my body, but I'm so grateful for all of the injuries that I've had and all the times I've had to struggle learning really basic skills. Because as a coach, it's my job to teach people and help people overcome those struggles, not to just, like, I'm not a performer, for example. It's not my job to be just purely excellent at the craft of it. So I think also for people listening as well, if you're like thinking about, okay, like, how am I going to differentiate myself? Every fucking man and his dog is some kind of coach or a movement coach or a PT. It's like, well, what have you had to really struggle to learn? And think about creating systems around that, because that's where your fucking wisdom is. That's where you know things that aren't just blindly, dogmatically following the done thing or the fucking ATG system because it's what you saw popping online and going off on reels. It's like, what have you had to struggle with and learn for yourself?
Correct. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And that's why you see also, I mean, there's very good coaches out there. Don't get me wrong, but like, there's a lot of flexibility coaches that don't really understand certain topics. Right? Because everything went easier for them. And because it's easier for you, you think like in a certain way. You always think about what has worked for me. But of course, if your box that you're pulling tools out of is like this, because everything kind of worked, you don't always understand certain problems. So there's a lot of examples of coaches that are like, let's say a very high level example is Bondarenko, you know, and his wife. When it comes to handstands and flexibility, like, they don't get it. They get it on an extremely advanced level, right? And we'll never be like them. But like, if they're trying to teach normal people, I mean, they're making them do things that they're just dying in a warm up. Like, they're just dead.
I bought one of his press programs. Like, I'd fucking died. Yeah.
When you die in your warm up, there's no more room. That session, like, I mean, so for those people, the warm-up is the session. And then everything that comes after, which is a lot, it's not productive anymore, right? And so these are the examples. And oftentimes, you know, maybe a coach isn't the most flexible, but he has thought about a lot of things. And like, it has a chance to produce a different kind of change for some people that maybe are more beginners because they have that better understanding of what it actually is to be a beginner, right? So a coach, it's pretty nice if a, and still, don't get me wrong, like I'm not talking as if I fix everybody with ease, because it's a difficult craft, man. You have to understand, like, everybody that sells this job as it's like super easy, I don't think they have worked with enough people. You know what I mean? Like, or they're the best ever. But I mean, the chances are that they haven't worked like one-on-one with enough people, because you have all body types. You have all different histories of training, histories of injury. Like, they can have specific to them problems. I mean, it's complicated. Like, some people still to this day, like a few clients come to me and I think, what the hell am I going to do? Like, I have a lot of knowledge, but like, I'm not sure, right? It's like, and then you have to, and then it also depends on how long they train with you, of course, because I think it's important to understand if you do like one phase with somebody of like 2 months. And I get that. People like the fact that they would love it if a coach has the immediate answers right now, right from the beginning. Like, this is the way forward for you. But it's not, it's in some cases, that's the way it goes, for sure. Like, some people, you just see their body as you're like, I know you, because I've been there or I've seen it, right? And I, this has a high probability of working. But sometimes it's like, I'm going to have to throw a few things at you.
Yes.
And we're going to have to test each thing for a while. And then after two phases, let's say after 4 months, we're having our rhythm. Because now we've tested, we tried, we experienced together. It's not that things that didn't work that I threw at you are bad. But in the context of you right now, it wasn't the best idea. But how do you know? You don't always know right from the get-go in tough cases. So, I mean, then it depends on how long people work with you and if they're willing to kind of suck it up and like be interested and try and understand that this is the process sometimes, you know?
And this is why I think it's so valuable, one, the process of research for oneself as a coach, and also the process of going through something that you've struggled with and helping other people with that, because this is the reality of actually training. There were so few, outside of maybe very specific applications, there were so few just tried and tested processes. Here are all the exercises that you got to do. Same thing with Sally over there. Same thing with 6 foot Dave over there. That's not how flexibility, that's not how even strength, even skill, that's not how these things are achieved. Yeah. It's constant iterations of experimentation, hypothesizing. I always say your program is the question and reality is the answer. It's like you're constantly going through phases of asking questions, seeing what worked, seeing what didn't work, doing better the next time. That's how, even after you leave working with a coach, that's how you got to keep continue training for yourself. And so I think to understand that process, not just to blindly follow what other people are saying, but to have gone through that research and iteration process yourself, you can help other people do the same thing in their own training.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, like, that, where's the flexibility school, right? That where's the flexibility school in the world where you learn everything for each specific individual case? Like, it just doesn't exist, right? Yeah. So how did I learn? Like, I would say like 75% of what I know is just purely sticking with it for like 7 years straight and just failing. And of course you learn through different methods, right? Maybe at some point, you know, you do an FRC cert and you pick a few things, but then you see a lot of pitfalls as well. Like, I need to expand. Well, and then you do workshop with somebody else. And there's so many, there's a lot of different disciplines, right? And that's also because a lot of different things work for different people. There's a lot of people in history that have thought on the concept, but there's no like, there's no school that teaches everything, because it's just so, it's so damn hard, you know, like, so you keep learning by taking bits and pieces everywhere and then just having a firm grasp of through experimentation and trial and error and making a lot of mistakes.
I want to, before, this is super interesting, man. I want to kind of continue diving more into the details about flexibility and your philosophy on training and how you've, what you've learned from training clients. But I also want to kind of set up some context and some almost some guardrails as well. Because when people think flexibility, again, if they haven't been exposed to your stuff, maybe what they're thinking is like, oh, like stretching or yoga or something like that. So I'd love for you to just quickly break down how is what you do different to just stretching or yoga? And like, how do you define flexibility in the way that you think about it?
Dude, that's like two tough questions. So the first one was what I do different?
Yeah, how is what you do different to kind of stretching or yoga?
Yeah, I don't think I do anything different. I mean, there's just nuance. I mean, so
to yoga?
It is stretching. It is strengthening. It is not really yoga because, you know, and yoga has like, what is yoga, right? What's Ashtanga versus what is yin? I mean, like the one is like very active, producing results, doing the same thing over and over. And the other is like holding things for 5 minutes straight every day of the week. But nothing is a combination maybe of things that might work in a certain context. So I think what I do more of is just thinking about a little bit of the nuance and just working with exercises that I know have been proven to work in different scenarios and different cases and just applying them to people. But what I think the difference is like I don't have any specific thoughts on flexibility training. Like, I think a lot of styles and methods think like, okay, like passive is not good. Active is the way, right? It should be only strength and it should be no relaxing. I don't try to have these thoughts in my mind because every time you know, or you think, every time you think you know, you have a certain answer, somebody comes along and proves you wrong. You know what I mean? And like the person that has the same goal as the other one, the first one is going to respond so good to a loaded progressive stretch. And like, that's the path you take. But for the other one, it's nothing. Like the loaded progressive stretch makes them seize up, right? And they need more softness sometimes. You know what I mean? And so there's always somebody proving you wrong. So I don't put things in a box, but I try to have a toolbox that's as extensive as possible within my limits. And from there, I'm like, let's do this right now, right? And so I don't think, yeah, that I think that's quite important to have that kind of skill or to have that mindset. I think that mindset is important. Everything is good, just given the context that it applies to, you know what I mean? If there's only nuance and context. And so all these statements, there's a lot of bold statements out there and like you can disprove them if you put the right context forward, you know what I mean? Like, so nothing is an absolute truth in flexibility. I think that's the answer to the first question. And can you repeat the second question?
Oh, no, I think you actually answered the second question. I was asking you a little bit of your thoughts on what is flexibility training and, you know, just like the act of increasing someone's range of motion. Yeah. And I love that I answer mean, about there's yeah. there's no absolute truth.
It's dependent on the person also. I mean, like what is flexible? Like obviously flexibility training is being able to express greater ranges in whatever way, shape or form, right? It can be a soft expression, it can be a hard expression, right? So, and it also depends on what the person wants and feels like it, the person needs. So, I mean, any form of expressing of greater ranges, that's what is flexibility. And it, within all its, you know, you see me do on Instagram, these hip flexor lifts, you know, the active leg lifting, I love that. I mean, that's just one way of showing something, right? But it can be anything else as well.
100%, dude, and I really resonate with the idea. It's like almost, you know, moving away from the dogma of like it has to be this, it has to be passive stretching or active stretching is bad or ballistic is dangerous or whatever it is. It's just like there's an application for everything. All we're trying to do is both people who practice some kind of movement with our body and also people that teach it as well. We're trying to add tools to the tool belt and understand the kind of realities and the ways the people body work so that we understand what is the right tool for the job. But I think,
I mean, so go
yeah,
ahead.
when it comes to flexibility, I think this is something that many people are starting to find more interest in, especially as, you know, for whatever extent, you know, longevity starts to come, you know, more into the conversation online, and people think, okay, I need to know more about my mobility, and people start thinking about how am I going to prevent injuries. And of course, there's a discussion as to how much flexibility affects those things, but I think it's something that's coming more to the forefront, right? But I think another thing that's I see happening as well is like, well, I want to get a bit more flexible, but I also want to get kind of stronger, and I also want to get this handstand skill, and I also want to build bigger muscles. And you know, flexibility training, especially quite intense, can compete with those interests at the same time. So I'd love to hear if someone was going to come to you, they've got stars in their eyes, they want to do handstands, they want to get more muscles, and they want to build flexibility as well. How do you help this person both, you know, kind of maybe get what they want eventually, but also start to prioritize in terms of these things?
I help this person by being honest.
Give
You know what I mean?
it to me,
There's
bro.
a reason. There's a reason why I don't do as much strength training as I used to. There's a reason I don't do as much handstands anymore as I used to. I mean, so it's nice to have this idea of a person being able to improve on all fronts at the same time. Lose fat, gain muscle, build a handstand, build a shoulder press, and get the best thoracic bridge ever in the world at the same time. But I mean, it can work for certain people because certain people are just more fantastic than other people, right? And so there's examples of people that have been doing that with success, and that's awesome. But I'm not one of these people. And a lot of people aren't one of these people. I mean, like every form of training is obviously stress placed on the body, right? And so if you are aiming to have squat PRs every week or deadlift PRs every week, let's say, but you also want a head to toe in flexibility, I mean, the trade-offs are real. I mean, the trade-offs are real. And the thing that I would suggest is like, I never tell people to stop doing things that they love when they come to me, right? That's a thing. But I'm going to discuss it openly and I'm going to give my experience. And so what I usually do is like, I've gotten away from teaching basic handstands, basic rings, basic strength, because I figured out soon enough, because I started out doing all of these things together, but I figured out soon enough for me that it was very hard to be high level at all these things, and that to make the best results, you have to kind of zoom in sometimes, right, for periods of time.
Yes.
And so the stress placed on my body when I'm trying to do everything is too much to just be good at one thing. And what I'll try to do is, obviously, I only do the flexibility programming for the people. I don't, you know, put them on a muscle building program. I just do the flexibility. And so what I'm usually saying to a client is like, hey, man, so I want our programming. Because you've just paid me, right? You just paid me money. So I want our program to have priority, right?
Yes.
So we put this at a priority. And it doesn't mean that we're going to be stretching an hour every day of the week. Maybe we're only doing 2 days out of 5 days, you know, two sessions per 5 days in a rotation. Maybe we're doing that to start. And this leaves more room to do other things, right? But I want my thing to have priority right now. And so you start with doing this, right? You get a feel for it. how it actually affects your body. And then you put your other goals, like you can do handstands, you can do strength, but you put them on a lower priority than what I'm actually giving you right now. And so you tone them down, you do the least amount, you do the least amount of work to start, and you just feel out the recovery process of it all, right? And if you feel like you're recovering amazing, maybe up your handstand practice a little bit again. And then but we need to like start with one priority and then take the other things down a little bit. We can start, keep training, do a day of strength or this or that, but we kind of test it out. And over the weeks, you will feel for yourself like how well you recover with the loads that you, with the stressors that you put on your body, you know what I mean? And I think that's the honest way forward. You have to just test it out.
This is, I fucking love that answer, man. This is super, super, super important. I think it's such sound advice. I've made this mistake both with myself so many times and also early on with clients as well. It's still something I'm mindful of when I'm programming, is starting with less. Is like picking that priority and then make, okay, you can be really, you can fucking go balls to the wall with priority. But when you're starting to add little other things that might compete for your ability to recover from some kind of stimulus, start with way less than you think you have to and just see. Worst comes to worst, you wait a couple of weeks and be like, I could do more. Worst case scenario. Yeah. But so often it's so easy to get excited and kind of run away with a little bit. And then not only does your main priority, you don't have as much adaptation for that main priority to progress, but also the other thing you're trying to fit around the side is also not really progressing. You're just building up all of this fucking stress. And it's just like a one-way ticket to just taking a fucking nose.
You just keep stagnating, you know?
Yes.
And this is a very important little sentence, you know? This is a very important sentence that I tell to a lot of my students. And what I tell them is, we can always add, but it's hard to take away.
Yes.
Right? It's like, that's the sentence. And what I mean with that is pretty clear, but like, we can always add, because adding is easy. Like how hard is it to make a program tougher? Like it's super easy, right? You make something more difficult. But taking away, there's a big thing there, because let's say we have started at a certain frequency and volume and it doesn't work out and we don't progress, or we don't feel good in our bodies because it's too much, it's just too much load and stress. Taking away makes you feel like you're failing, right? It makes you feel like something was not right. You're doing something not good. And maybe you're doing things correct, but like, I mean, it's just too much. So, I mean, it's also that negative experience and that negative mindset that comes from starting with too much too soon. That's not really nice. We feel like we're regressing, but actually we're just, putting things in the right scale. But if you start literally with like doing not too much, which is something I really try to do, because I used to start, like I used to train everything, and I used to train an hour and a half, like 6 days a week or more. So people would train that way. But I mean, beginners and stuff, it's so hard for them and sometimes demotivating. So starting with something that you can handle and then adding to it feels like a success, right? And that's what you want, like successful experiences, because we all know flexibility takes a long time. We all know it's hard to overcome. So if at least your recovery is good, and your sessions feel in some way, shape, or capacity productive, that's like the most important thing you can have. And then you make something difficult and the client is like, fuck yeah, I am now ready to do something harder. You know what I mean? And that's a very good thing to experience, rather than just having to take away, oh, this isn't working, this isn't working. You know what I mean?
100%. You mentioned in there that flexibility takes a long time, as do many things. But I think flexibility can be an especially, hard taskmaster in that kind of thing, especially while you're figuring out the approaches, man. Fucking some shit has taken me so long and I still suck so much. Like even in the context of people say they suck, like, yeah, man, my pancake is still horrendous. But I want to ask you about the whole, splits is a very common goal in flexibility. What do you think is going on with these kind of very rapid things you see online about 30-day splits programs, or I got my splits in, 6 weeks, or, in in 2 weeks or in one session or this kind of stuff. I want to ask your thoughts on where those stories are coming from, maybe some of the validity. Obviously, some of it's going to be bullshit. But yeah, what do you think is happening there? And what do you think the effect is on how people perceive what a goal like splits can really take?
Yeah, I mean, so it all comes down to misconceptions, right? Because people don't know and understand what flexibility is, right? So I used to have that same misunderstanding of the sport, because I used to date a dancer. She was a professional dancer. And of course, they needed flexibility, right? And at a certain moment in time, we were at her home and we were talking about middle splits. And I was like, I can get a middle split in 6 months, but I just start stretching. I mean, if I start stretching, like, it's, you know, I've never stretched before, right? And she was like, no. I was like, yeah. We made a bet. Of course, I lost, right? I didn't even get close, like, at all. Like, and so that a lot of people, so it's that combination of clever marketing and just people not understanding what it is, right? So because people think that, oh yeah, I've never done it, so if I apply myself for a few weeks, I can probably get flexible, right? That's just people not knowing or understanding anything about it. And then the marketing on top is like people understanding that people think this way and that they can make a quick buck. Like, I mean, everybody wants things fast. Everybody wants things easy. Like, that's where our society is going towards. Like, the less you have to work for something, the more inclined we are to buy it or do it, right? Like, you know, you click pay and Amazon delivers on the same day. I mean, it's a little bit the same kind of thing where people just think, oh, it's cheap. Like, I'm only paying $25 and it promises me splits in 30 days. And I kind of want to split, you know? And then, you know, you buy it and the person advertises everywhere. And so, like, he has like 100,000 people buying $25. And most of them don't ever reach anything close to their splits within 30 days, because to achieve a split in 30 days, you have to be already working a long time and just being very, very close to the splits and be in your final fucking chapter. But those are not the people buying these programs, right? Or you just have to be like an extremely flexible person that's like this far, but you've never trained, but you're like already having, and then like, oh, some contract relax, it works, and I'm in my split, you know what I mean? Like, so I mean, it's marketing and misconception. We don't understand what it is, what flexibility is. We really don't.
I'm glad to hear it from the horse's mouth, to dispel any sad illusions or some people might have harboring hopes, like, oh, I listened to the Joachim Hildesen podcast, I got my split in 30 days. Like, damn it.
Dreams crushed. It annoys you, man. It annoys me, these advertisements.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's disempowering for the people that are both buying it and also who are not buying it, but still letting it twist their perception about what it takes to get results with the body in general, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
But I want
to. There's a thing, right? Like, people love to. I feel like a lot of people in the flexibility scene on their Instagram accounts and stuff. And I mean, it's not necessarily always bad, but like, I think a lot of people that are even flexibility teachers, they sell it as it's something easy. You know, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be complicated training. That's correct. But like, they sell it as, you know, it's overly simplified. Let's say that. And like the posts have a lot of attention and a lot of likes, but it's, I mean, for a lot of people, it's just not that easy. You know what I mean? And it will take a long time. And that's why I feel like the honest approach is better, because I know like you have people that want to get flexible, and if they're very fast responders, they'll just start trying, they'll get close, and then they reach out to a coach maybe for some final things. But there's just a lot of people that have that will have a hard time with flexibility, you know, that will have to spend a long dedicated time to improving ranges progressively, And those are also the people that are really looking, right? They're really looking for answers. Or and so I talk a little bit more from that mindset, because like I know that it is hard. It is hard for me. I nowhere near reached the goals that I thought I would reach within like 5 years. And I think being honest about that is very important. And then if it goes faster, if people respond well, like I have people that look like, I literally have a client and he looked like I didn't know what to do with him. Like I literally, because his assessment was so bad. It was crazy how bad it was. Like fucking hell, it was crazy. But I put him on a program and like within the first 8 weeks, he had a full back bridge better than mine. And like everything seemed to be coming along. He just needed a little bit. Like everybody starts off inflexible. Not everybody, but every people that are very fast responders, they can look like they're absolutely dog shit because they've never really stretched. But then once you give them some sensible exercises, they like blast through it because they get the right stimulus. And then they're like super flexible in 6 months. And then you can still claim that you weren't flexible to start with, but you're an extreme fast responder, and a lot of people won't respond in the same way. So if it goes faster than I advertised, that's even a win. That's perfect. That's great. You know, that's a big feeling of success. But for a long people, it's just reality. A lot of people, the reality will just be that it's going to be a long time of working and working basics and doing them well.
This is why I was really like happy to hear you talk about in the beginning, the process of what you love about flexibility, the process of like overcoming things that you find challenging, that you don't take to naturally. That's a process you can stick to for a long time. When it's all about the fucking outcome, it's all about the, I just want to get the splits. I don't want it to be hard. I just want to get it in this time. I want to know when it's going to happen and I don't want to have doubts. That mindset around training is, there's no longevity in that. And there's no fucking results in that either. And so I think it's so fucking important that more and more coaches are doing what you're doing. And I'll put my hand up to be the first one to say, I'll be really fucking honest. I've only been coaching for just about 3 years now, right? When I first started, I just started coaching. No one knew what I was. And I was much, much lower level than whatever I can do now. When I would buy marketing courses and I'd buy courses on how do I get more clients and I'd try and learn these things, every single one of them would push. Business coaches, marketing courses, whatever, be like, tell them what they're going to get, tell them how long they're going to get it. And I was like, that's not really how my understanding of how the body works. And they were like, I don't give a fuck. You want to get fucking clients and money and you want to fucking keep the lights on, you're going to fucking give them a time frame. And I fought back so many fucking times and I kind of caved and gave some vague, you know, time frame sometimes. Like, okay, this is going to be an 8-week program, but you can do it twice. And like, but there's so much pressure for young coaches to put false time constraints around something just to sell it better. And I think the more people who are willing to, I'm now fucking staunchly like, I'm going to be real about this. And so the more people that are able to do what you're talking about and be like, this is honesty. This is reality. This is how it works. Let's commit to a process instead of some bullshit time frame and an outcome. That's going to help people be way more empowered and get the results and actually learn the process.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, hard selling is such a thing right now. Like there's so many people selling how to sell. Like that's like a really big thing on Instagram, like selling how to sell and then like making a lot of money just by people that want to put out a product, but they kind of lose their value a little bit. And like, I feel like in a lot of cases, it's all about, you know, making quick bucks. And like, cause like so many cold DMs, like, just like that's also the way to do it, right? Cold DMs, just hitting people up and just convincing them to buy our product. And like I get these every day. I get these via mail, via Instagram. But it's one of these things, the hard sell, you have to be able to back it up. And it's hard to back it up, man. Like it's hard to back it up. You have to be really, really knowledgeable and have a really, really good product to do something like that. And I feel like I've been in this game for quite a while. You know, I wasn't the first online coach at all, but I became an online coach back when they weren't so many, right? There were established coaches online, but there weren't a lot. And I became a coach then online. And I never really sold anything like that. And I never got, you know, I mean, it's not about making the figures, right? You know, making 20K a month and these types of things, which you hear all of the time. But I think all of these years later, I'm still here, right? And I'm paying for my rent. I'm not rich and I don't make the biggest bucks, you know, but I think the consistency of an honest product, hopefully, and until now it has been, but like, hopefully it keeps you afloat as well. And I think it should keep you afloat because, you know, a lot of these hard sellers, you know, they come and go, let's make, you know, a lot of money for a few months until people realize that actually you're selling them, you know, soap bubbles, you know, and then you get that massive drop off and you made a few bucks. But if you consistently provide something that you feel is of value and you try to improve yourself continuously, every year you should have more knowledge. And, you know, then you make that consistent income and you can do, you know, you can also feel good about yourself. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's quite important as well. And I'm still here, so it's good.
Yeah, fucking amen. I want to switch gears a little bit and I want to dive deep into the fucking your mind of flexibility. And I love how you bring it back to tools, having tools in the tool belt, but knowing when to apply those tools requires knowledge of first principles. And I'd love to ask you, what are some of the first principles around either the body or flexibility specifically that you find yourself returning to most often when you teach your students?
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, it all comes down to, I mean, because there's so many contexts in which like there's certain little things that apply.
Sure.
But in a general sense, like what I come back to the most is just, is good recovery, like a slow start. That's like the most important thing with everybody. I used to see recovery as, I didn't really think about that. I would always go to the gym and just fucking blast. And like, I had a lot of injuries in my life for sure. I mean, cause I didn't pay attention to any of that. I would just, you know, can I get the deepest in this or that? And I just go for it or like do exercises, which I thought like, this would be fucking cool if I can make it work. Like it'd be a good post on Instagram. Like, oh, yeah. Sure, if I can make it work right now. But I'm not even sure if I can make it work without hurting myself. Like, I mean, I've done that, you know? So I think for the longevity sake of things, just having your first priority should be recovery, how well you recover. That's like with everybody. If you recover well, you're already a step ahead of the entire game. So everybody should recover well. And that's one of the things that I ask most to my client, like, hey, how are you feeling after the session? How are you feeling the day after? How are you feeling by the time the next session comes around? You know, because stress builds up, you know? It's one of these things as well that's important to understand is that, like, let's say you're doing a certain session every 4 days, like the same session every 4 days, so 3 days of recovery per session for that one session. You can have, The intensity can be too much so that you're just under recovered by the time it comes again. And so stress builds up, slow, fast, whatever. But intensity, stress builds up. So like one session fine, second session fine, third session a little bit worse, fourth session a little bit worse. And then like it leads to this downward spiral of just, and you don't really understand it or you just, and then it makes you frustrated and you want to push harder. Because you're like, the first session was better. I mean, like, how is it? But then you get an injury because your body was telling you to not train or not train as hard. And you pushed it harder than normal just because you wanted the result. So that's a very important thing to understand. And sometimes the frequency is off. Like you need more days. You need to space it out more. But sometimes also, and I tell this to my people a lot of times, what's in your program, you don't always have to do it. Because let's say you're on an every 4 day split. And the every 4 day split is actually legit for you. It's a good split, but it's only natural to have stress that progressively kind of builds up. And so maybe you have 9 good sessions and then it starts to taper off. When you feel that it's not right, you just skip it and you rest double, right? You just don't, you start your session, you warm up already, you feel it, my body's not in it. You don't do it the next day even, you just stop, you don't do it, and again, you take the 3 days and on the 4th day, you do it again. And you have now rested 6 days instead of 3 days, and you do it again, and it's glorious again. The extra recovery has given you the room to grow. And like, that's so important. Like, you don't just, because I can put something in a program every Monday, but it doesn't make sense if like the body is telling you on that day, like it's not great. And you shouldn't use it as an excuse as well, because you have kids and this and that. It's the body that should be telling you, you know, you feel it when you're weakening, you feel it when stress has built up. So that's an understanding that comes though. I mean, for us, it's now easier if you've been training for so many years. Like yesterday, I was doing some standing back bends, and my lumbar spine is also one of my weaknesses in extension. And I'm working pretty loaded on it, a very good way to do it. But I just literally feel at like 2 warm-up sets, 3 working sets. At the 3rd working set, somebody who starts training would be like, I can probably do 1 or 2 more. I feel this is the one. It's still my peak, but I'm stopping right now because next session I'll be perfect. But if I do 2 sets more now, 3-4 days later, I'm going to do it again and I'm going to be diminished in how I work. That's it. That's, you know, you need to tell that to people until they understand it. And sometimes it takes a year for them to also understand it. You know what I mean? Like, I have clients, I've told them 5 times, but they still, but it comes. If you tell it enough, and if they, sometimes you know how it is, you know, if you have kids or whatever, you give them advice, right? Because you're smarter. You've been in this life for so many years, but they have to make their own mistakes. They're not going to listen to you always. They have to bounce their head against the wall, learn from it the hard way, and then they might change their opinion. Oh, that's how that goes as well. But that's, to me, that's the first building block. You need to stay healthy, you know?
And I love then that.
Next to that is just about, I basically, of course, working with a lot of people, you kind of have an idea of if you see a certain level or a certain body type or a certain structure, you have like within that body type, that level, that structure, you have like, okay, 2 to 4 exercises that usually work well, and you pick the one you pick from the exercise that you've seen have worked like very well for a lot of other people, and you throw that to them first, you know, and you just put things in a few boxes, and they're that's a very good place to start, and that start is experience, you know.
100%, dude. I fucking love that answer for 2 reasons. Number 1, because it's super actionable. It's like, if you're getting to another session, like, we all say, okay, right, recovery is important. But so many people are like, okay, recovery, what does that mean? It means ice baths and saunas and fucking Theraguns. Well, maybe if it didn't mean that, what about if you, like, what's a way you can define it? If for practical for your training, it actually means by the time you get to the next session, do you feel like you're able to kind of perform at a good level, make some form of maybe tiny, meaningful progress? And your body feels good doing it. You're listening to your body and like, it's like, hey, fucking green lights. This feels good to do as well. I'm performing. Yeah. I'm either meeting my expectations or slightly surpassing them. Green lights, green lights, green lights. If that's not the case and the body whispers before it screams, it's like, okay, stop, rest double, and then allow yourself to benefit from all of the good work that's gotten you to the point where your body's feeling like that. And then you can back and then you can begin making that progress again. The sooner that you can catch that, the better that your progress is going to be. And I love this because it's the opposite to the fucking just bullshit, shut up and work harder. You get up, you don't feel like it. You go in the gym, it hurts. You shut the fuck up and you do it anyway. It's the antithesis to that. And yet it makes such better progress and causes so much less fucking pain and anguish.
Because that's the thing with flexibility training is harsh like that. You need, of course, there's sports where the more you practice, the better you get at it, right? Not everything, because I mean, like if you play high level boxing, you can't spar every day, but you can do technique work every day.
Yes.
Pretty much, right? And so you could make an argument like the more you train, the better. But like flexibility is, if it was like that, if it was like the more you train, the more advanced you get, then I would be fucking rubber man right the fuck now. You know what I mean? Like I would be like, because I've spent so much time, but how much time was actually improductive? A lot of time. So I've done a lot of hours, which I probably should have been doing something else. And so that extra input into my body is just basically a waste and even detrimental, because I was under recovering and then I had to pay the price for multiple sessions on end or bouncing to an injury, which would set me back for sometimes up to a year, because I've had like shoulder injuries. And once upon a time, I messed up my left shoulder. And my shoulder was out for a year. And I did the same thing to my right shoulder, out for a year. That's 2 years. And after that year of not being able to train, a year, 12 months, then you start over. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so how much time have you... Those 2 years, how much time did I actually lose? More than 2 years, you know? It's probably 3 or 4 years that I actually lost. You know, that's crazy to think about. And so that's, again, why it comes down to health. And like saunas and ice baths is good. Like, I mean, you can work towards having an optimal recovery by doing these things, by watching your nutrition, by watching how you sleep. But stress will be stress. And even if your recovery is optimal, that doesn't mean you're ready to train again the next day. Not at all. So, I mean, you still have to have that mindset of when to rest and when to train.
100%. I think the other thing is that, like, depending on how much of a recovery thing you can do, that can become more stress as well. Heat can become stress. Cold can become stress. You know, there's no matter just like pouring more, like, I tick the boxes. I did
everything. Stress. Correct. Yeah.
100%. It's only to what extent does this stress boost my recovery and shorten the time? Yeah. I don't need to go more down that rabbit hole, but I think that's really, really awesome. And I would also say that these things also apply to strength, and muscle building is not my expertise, as you can fucking see. But I would say that these principles still apply to muscle building and to strength training as well. It's not just flexibility, although flexibility does seem to be a very kind of harsh taskmaster.
Flexibility, like mid-range strength building is just a different thing. If you go bodybuilding, I mean, it's not like when I was a bodybuilder, I was huge back in the day, you know, I was religiously, but what you do as a good bodybuilder is you're not a power lifter. So you basically go mid-range with everything and you go sub-max loads. It's only the ego lifters that go like, and then they run into certain problems or central nervous system fatigue or these things. But if you're doing it correctly, you're just constantly pumping blood into the tissues. There's less chances for overtraining / injury. And it's just so much more simple. But with flexibility, you're constantly trying to change your baseline kind of resting tension of the tissues, and you're constantly fighting the stretch reflex, which is an autonomous kind of the message from the brain into the tissues, like contract. Because I don't want you going further. So the brain is telling you, I do not want you to go further, but you're trying to push further. So, I mean, you're constantly working that system of like your nervous system gets taxed so much more. And so it's so much more kind of dangerous to constantly like do that. There's these little tweaks, little niggles, little like a little bit too far too soon, and you're paying the price. It's a completely different game than just like pumping blood into an area in the ranges that your body is like used to move at. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just so much more complex in that sense, that we really need to be careful with what we're doing. Because like, this is so fucking interesting. Like, people see my Instagram page, right? And of course, there's a lot of good things on there. And I get these messages all of the time, like, hey, bro, you must like be one, so pain-free, and two, your body is probably like unable to get injured ever, which is like the furthest thing from the truth. I mean, I'm keeping more healthy, way more healthy right now, because like I've been talking about the recovery, like this half of this podcast. But it's really tough to communicate to your body in a way that you're constantly trying to push forward.
Yes.
You're constantly trying to get to the next level. And so like a little tweak is like 5% of intensity increase. You can have that little tweak. 5% of too much range in a certain direction that you want to open up, but you're not ready, and can lead to a tweak. You know, like so many little things can lead to a certain tweak that, I mean, it's that I think here's where the misconception comes from. You see people on Instagram that are massively flexible, like everywhere, like every joint is perfect, right? There's big channels like that. And they're spreading their message of, and they're not wrong. They're spreading their message of flexibility is freedom. Strength and flexibility gives you all of the options, and it reduces joint stress, and it reduces your chances of getting injured, and your life is so much more free and better, which is actually correct if you're that level. If you're that level, you know what I mean? Like that level of like every joint is perfect and you're strong in every range, and they showcase it tremendously perfect. And so people take that and they think once I start the, so they're here, but they think once I start the process here, I'm going to be like that. But no, you need to go through all of the steps, the hardships, the tweaks, the like the struggles, the understanding of recovery in your body. Like you have to get through all of that to maybe one day reach that level and be free and strong and reduce your chances of injury. But as you're doing the thing and you're trying to get to that level, there's snakes in the grass everywhere.
100%. You can injure yourself in the process of trying to achieve more resilience in your body. And only by staying cognizant of that give yourself any opportunity to actually maintain, you know, to stay healthy long enough to actually achieve that point where you're far more resilient, which takes fucking ages, man. So much. And especially if you're also trying to push the envelope and you're trying to iterate and you're trying to experiment and see what you're truly capable of and test your limits, you're also going to run the risk of getting injured as well. So I think it's really good that you're very open about that.
You have to understand your body so well. You have to like, nobody, even if you have a coach, you're still going to make some mistakes. You still have to yourself, like, because your coach will not do everything for you. Not at all, because you're doing all of the work. You're doing each training session. You're thinking about it. You're doing it. You're steering your own body, because you have to still learn to understand your body, your recovery, your movement patterns. And when you start out, you don't know anything. Not yet, right? And you have to go through that whole process. And it just takes it takes its time. So it's a worthwhile goal. I don't want to sell it short. I mean, but it's also not for everybody. I mean, like, do we need to have perfect joints, like, everywhere? Do you have to have that to age well? I don't think so. I could today stop working on my hip external rotation and like pure short adductor tolerance. I could stop working that today, maintain my body with, you know, flexion extension, which I'm better at, and some T-spine extension, not even care about my lower back that's tighter in extension, and age perfectly, and just do some strength training on the side and just maintain my ranges. I'd age perfect. I don't have to be perfect everywhere. Nobody has to like open up their entire frame to age well. So that's also, it's just something I want. So I want to have more of this or that as a personal goal, but it doesn't necessarily always relate to me aging the best. However, like cross-legged sitting, like I'm sitting in a half lotus right now. And when I was in my 20s, like, you know, my adductors would be screaming at me right now. So, and it improves my quality of life being able to sit like that for long periods of time. It's a pleasure. But I mean, you don't have to do everything, you know? So that's also quite important. You have to want it. Like, I mean, flexibility, it's not like people ask me sometimes, like, why? I mean, why all of this? But it's like, it's not, or what's the absolute benefit of this one thing that you're doing right now on Instagram? But I'm like, it's my sport. I want to get good at zero more for more reasons than, you know, maybe just longevity or whatever. Like, I just want to have some skills in that regard and be strong as well and showcase a few things. I mean, like, that's all of these things are worthwhile goals, you know, and that's what I like to do and what I perceive as to be it. I love that. So, yeah.
And I think the more people that connect, this is my big thing, the more people that connect with that drive to not just train, what do I have to shut up and endure to get this thing that I want, which is a more longevity. Okay, or just like, tell me how many fucking minutes I have to sit in this fucking treadmill and then I'll fucking do it. And then it's like, what if you could find a process for yourself, whether it's flexibility and end range strength, whether it's hand balance, whether it's fucking muscle ups, whatever it is for you, whether it's fucking bobsled, I don't know, whatever lights you up and makes you want to fucking go and do the training and really invest in it and explore not just the benefits, but also the artistry and also the process of it. Like, then you fucking want to go into the gym. Then it's not about what do I have to fucking endure and what do I have to sit through. Oh, it's like, man, I'm fucking excited to go and work on this aspect of my body, and you get to reap all of the same benefits. You just get to enjoy the process so much more, and you get to play it for life instead of just like constantly kicking the can down the road and going in cycles of like, ah, oh, and then I left it by the wayside. And now I'm just getting back into it. And like, if you find a process that you genuinely fucking care about, so many of these other motivational problems don't necessarily go away, but they get way fucking easier.
Yeah, man. You have to make it a lifestyle. Whatever it is that you're doing, it becomes a lifestyle. If it's not a lifestyle, you just don't last. You give up, you know? Yeah. And people will be different. I always have been like an extremely motivated person within certain sports. Very, very dedicated, maybe to the extreme. And so I understand motivation is that it just comes natural, like doing the thing, doing the training. It's just part of life, and I literally feel bad if I don't. I rest more. Like I don't train every day right now, but like I have to get my sessions in at a high frequency to feel good about myself at this point. So it's nice when you have that, because you know you'll just keep doing it. You know, I see my dad's 80 years old. He has never moved in his life, never. Like, no sports, a doctor, you know, doctors don't believe in sports. But for 80 years old, like, I love him. We have a super great relationship. I don't want to say anything bad. But like, just on a physical aspect, I don't want to be like him when I grow up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I'm going to be like in my chair, like doing my fucking knee extensions and
fuck
shit.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm gonna, you know, strengthen it and stretch it out. And like, he believes he's too far gone already since his 50s or something. He's like, I'm just getting older. And it's a process. Of course, you just get older, you lose testosterone and this and that. But I mean, if you put a stress on your body, you still adapt. You know, if you don't adapt, you die and you're dead. So there's always something you can do to make your body a little bit more functional. And I'll probably don't do like crazy stuff later, but just, you know, I'll be moving around, you know, I'll be maintaining my body.
Something I take some comfort in, you know, it's very easy to say it's fucking 30, but you know, we don't have really a lot of good data. We have a very minimal amount of data on what happens when you lead a healthy life for the majority of your life and continue that into your old age and continue resistance training and continue doing mobility stuff. You know what I mean? Like there's where are you going to find a representative sample of the population and then do a study and then publish that study? It's not going to happen. You know, it's like, it's very, very, very difficult. So we have so few data on what can actually be happening, what quality of life and quality of even strength and performance and hormonal, whatever situation happen if we continue this kind of lifestyle that we have the privilege of learning how to live now with the, you know, with the resources that we have.
It's not something that brings in money, eh? So I mean, that's why there's no good studies on like how to age well. And like, of course there is, you know, if you want some data, you need to look at fucking the elderly calisthenics parks in China. You know what I mean?
Yeah?
Like the ex-gymnasts and stuff. There's so many videos like that of like 75 to 90-year-old people like doing basically muscle ups and like head to toes and splits.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy. Levers even like just it's not like the young calisthenics guys, but you see them like twirling on the bar. You see them being highly flexible and capable. Like who's like 75, 80 and just literally falls in a split, not really like carefully does like falls in a split. You know what I mean? That's like there's a bunch of videos on that. And like that's what I look up to, you know, when you're that age.
I'm going to check those out. I haven't seen those ones.
Dude, like there's so many of them. Just go to YouTube and check out like old Chinese gymnast or whatever. Like you'll see so many videos that are highly inspiring of highly capable people out there. Because we in the Western world, it's definitely not promoted here, right? Everything is sitting on a chair, never sitting on a floor, losing your hip range, not really moving, taking some pills for your this or for that, and just being incapable once you're 50 or something like that. But I mean, if you look at the old generation that has maintained a very active lifestyle and maybe come from sports that were gymnastics oriented, dude, it's amazing what they can do. It's amazing.
That's so dope, man. I'm definitely going to check that out. I'd love to start kind of landing the plane. I want to be respectful of your time as well. But there's one last thing I wanted to come back to from what you were talking about before as well, which is like, you know, the reality of injury is a very real possibility / some would say even an inevitability. I would say it's an inevitability. If you're really going to push things, it's no anyone's game. But the reality is learning to deal with the signs and the feedback that your body gives you in terms of pain is a very valuable skill, especially if you're going to push the envelope and you want to achieve things with your body. So I'd love to hear from your perspective when you achieve, let's say, a minor tweak or a kind of slightly significant tweak, maybe not something really huge, but how do you respond to that? Or how have you responded to that in the past to try and manage yourself to get back to things as soon as possible?
Yeah. There's definitely a few things. And you're right. Inevitability, I would say in a lot of cases it is. It's so hard to follow a perfect parkour, let's say. I have a client, though, and he's been training with me for 3 years plus. Shout out to MJ. He's a beast. He's a beast. Like, he started off really shit. And, like, he's doing, like, middle splits with, like, 8 kilos in his hands for 45 seconds on the most slippery floor. Like, his splits is a little bit of a triangle because like his hip rotation isn't the best, but he's gotten so strong. He's doing like full active front splits. Like, he still has areas that are, and that need a lot of work. but like, I mean, what I wanted to get at with him is like 3 years plus, like three and a half or something, not a single injury. I'm like, dude, what the hell? If I can go 3 years without a tweak, I'm the happiest man alive. And it's rare. It's yeah, just rare. It and that intensity, because like he goes, like he's very motivated. He has a big drive, a big interest and curiosity. And like he just blasts his sessions. We try to find a good recovery. He can train any day of the week, which is good. So we have like two big sessions every X days or two and a half kind of thing. So like he has his recovery, but the sessions are sessions. Like it's an hour and a half to 2 hours of just bosses, not a single tweak. I'm like, rare, very rare. So there's people like that that exist, and he's just less prone to getting injured. His body is, and it doesn't mean that he doesn't at all have the perfect body. I mean, like there's a lot of areas in shoulder rotation, hip rotation that are really hard, but like he can like just keep healthy. But so that's that's a small percentage of people, and a lot of people will come across something, even if you're doing everything perfect. Like you don't see it coming sometimes. Everything perfect. Like you're dialed in, man. You're careful. All of a sudden, boop, little tweak. I mean,
fucking life happens.
And so what
man.
You do is, yeah, for sure. Life happens, and so I think mindset is important, because I've been injured more than I like to admit in all of the time. And so what you do is sometimes you're extremely upset from it. It's often your fault. It's sometimes also not your fault, but it's often your, you know, you had a sign. If you're honest with yourself, oftentimes there's going to be some sign that you should address. But you don't always know, like, what is the sign? It can be subtle as well. But anyways, if it's your fault or not, it happens. And so the mindset is one, because I've been in the past like very upset. And also the healing process, like your body is going to tell you when it's going to heal. You can facilitate healing, but if you go to five physios, like three are going to give you a different answer. And it's hard to know yourself as well, like exactly what's the road forward. It's super hard. For physio, my physios, man, they're very good. Back in Belgium, I don't go to them anymore because I live here now in Barcelona. But a lot of the times, a little bit later on in my career, before I moved to Barcelona, I would show up and I had this weird fucking thing that I couldn't understand. They as well, they didn't understand. So then what do you do, right? So the mindset should be like, it is what it is. And I'm going to accept it. The faster you get to that level, the faster you can start growing and working around it. Because as long as you don't accept it, you run the risk of doing things anyway that you know will actually stall your healing or hurt you even more. You know, I've had like an adductor tweak and I didn't want to give up on my adductor work. You know, I was doing isometric splits, slippery floor, 8 kilos in my hand. It wasn't from that. It actually was from more lunging type movements where there was load in my front hip, but it transferred over into the splits eventually. And like, you don't want to give up, and you're like very frustrated because you were doing very good things and this and that. And you make it worse for a little bit of time, but that means that you have to recover so much longer, right? So that's the first thing, acceptance. And then it really depends on the injury. Let's say, okay, let's a simple example, which has a very clear protocol, is a strain. So let's say I've been doing isometric front splits or just deep front split, and I pushed my hip flexion too much. I pushed my hamstring too much. And so you strain your hamstring. That happens so often. Like you're close to the butt, you know, where the attachment is to the hip. Like that's a very, I've strained that twice, pretty severe on my left hamstring. So what you want to do is you don't train for 10 days, only 10 days. You don't train at all. You can do other things like shoulder is not involved, so you can do your shoulder. But so you rest for 10 days, and then the concept starts of healing, that the recovery protocol. Because if you rest too long and don't do anything and hope it magically heals, it will not, because that's just not how the body heals. The body will put tissues down in a weird angles, and you kind of want to guide the healing of the tissues so that they're in the line. Like if I stretch my hamstring, I want my tissues to be nicely aligned. That's how I remember it. I'm not like really deep into physiology, but that's more or less correct in simple ways. So you have to kind of guide the healing. So after 10 days of rest and the basic healing has been done by your body, you need to find ways to stress and load the tissues in a regressed way. So for example, instead of doing front splits, you go to Jefferson curls, even with some load already. It depends, but like some load will create tissue damage again. But you're sticking to like a 2 out of 10 or 3 out of 10 max in pain. Just a little bit of pain is fine, but not too much. It shouldn't feel too painful, a little bit maybe. And you just do like 4 sets of 5 reps or whatever you can do, 3 sets of 5. What will happen, and this is counterintuitive, like your injury is going to get a little bit worse. So that same night, you're gonna feel that tingling of the tissues, like, I stressed it again. It's there again. And it's actually a beneficial thing if it's not too much. It should be a little bit. And the next day probably is going to be a little bit worse as well. But then in days after, it's going to start dropping again, like the tingling feeling, the annoying feeling with strains. So when it's going down, so basically you hurt yourself again. So here's my injury, just slightly worse, and then recovery happens. And at the point where your injury is the same as before or slightly better, that's where you do these Jeffersons again. And then again, you make it slightly worse and then recover, and it gets better. Slightly worse, recover, get better. And like 3 months later, you're doing everything you were doing again. So that's the easy injury, because we know what we need to do with a sprain.
Just
It's to
quickly on that,
return
are
back
you
similar
progressing the
position.
loads that you're exposing to your body there, or are you keeping the loads the same, just exposing to roughly the same volume and intensity?
That really depends on how bad the strain is and what your body needs. It's really working with the sensations.
Cool.
You will just like it's pretty good to keep the load the same for a few sessions. And then eventually it starts feeling like it becomes a little bit light to do this load now. So I'm going to slap on a little bit more. And you just need to always observe your sensations of injury. You observe like, okay, I stressed it and then it gets better. And if you constantly get this peak and this down of stress and better, and you attack it again on the right space, then you just move forward. And automatically, you're going to be adding more and more load again until you're back to your previous self. But so, if an injury is not as straightforward, let's say my shoulders. I had a period of time with my left shoulder where external rotation would hurt, extension would hurt, deep flexion would hurt. Like, I mean, what do you do? And there's no protocol because nobody understands what the issue is. Not your physios, not scans, not photos. Basically, my. So then you really come to acceptance, right? Because if you keep forcing the extension and you're wanting to do your skin to cats, but it's every time really painful, it's not good. But you just do everything in your power that does feel good. And that doesn't provoke pain in that sense. You basically do like I did some handstands which worked. Like I just couldn't go extremely deep into flexion, but like handstands would work. I did and like some other things, some I would just leave my shoulders alone, but I would do some strength, some this and that. Or I kept busy doing whatever. And then once in a while you test You just test something basic in extension, and like at some point it's going to feel better, and then you add that back in, and then you add that back in. You know what I mean? And you heal. You every time you heal always. But that in those cases where it's really not clear, I would stay out of the pain mostly and experiment with rehab exercises, just like the strain protocol, where you know maybe you stress it a little bit and then it heals. But you have to see, you have to be honest with yourself and see, like, does it really improve? Because I've been doing, for example, adductor rehab exercises that I got from my physio, and like I would do them for 4 months straight, but like the pain was absolutely the same. And so I maintained my injury instead of making it improve. And so that's when you need to say, like, okay, what I'm doing is not right. I need to switch gears and just stop doing the rehab because it's not helping me.
I really like the idea of first coming to acceptance, because you're very, very right. Before that point, you're not even thinking clearly about it, and you're kind of reactive, and you're like, it's hurting, but no, fuck it, I'm just mad, and so I'm either going to just like leave it, I'm going to walk out, or I'm just going to push through it anyway. And that's when you make really bad decisions, and that's when you really extend your time. And then it's again coming back to the curiosity as well around the body, asking the questions, tinkering, seeing, okay, how is this feeling? How much load am I able to expose it to? Maybe can I slow it down a little bit? So maybe that the speed was reacting. So maybe the tempo can come down. That feels a little bit better. Okay, this range is hurting too much, but this range feels bearable. Asking questions and relating to your body and being curious like that is just so, it's such a powerful frame to come from for so many things when you're trying to develop skill, strength, flexibility. So, man, I love that answer.
Nice. Thanks.
Dude, this has been a fucking epic conversation. We braved some some audio issues in the beginning.
I can always talk about flexibility and these things. I feel like there's an endless conversation that is possible when you're doing this thing. And also when you love something, you know, you have a lot of things to say about it eventually, you know. Yeah.
100%, dude. But I think there was some really cool actionable things to take away for training. And then also I really loved hearing about your kind of philosophy and the way that you think about approaching the mindset side of training as well. So I just really appreciate you coming on, man. If people would love to go and check out more of the wild stuff you do, man, where can they go to find out more about Bose, how to check you out and how to work with you?
I'm still mostly on Instagram. You should probably link my name on the screen or something, because if I show it, it's people are not going to find me, probably, if they're English natives, you know.
It'll so be Instagram in the description. Mostly,
you know, social media is tough. I mostly Instagram. I try to make a few YouTube shorts on my channel. Same stuff as Instagram. I have a little bit of TikTok, but I'm not really a fan of the app. So it's usually like I work through Instagram. I try to share just my process. I try to make a mix of some instructional videos and some sometimes impressive content, or try to be funny sometimes. But and then, you know, the process is always you just reach out to me, send me a DM, and we communicate back and forth. And if it's a fit, we get going. Yeah.
Fucking awesome, man. So you're at Hildesen Joachim on Instagram, and I'll leave that in description in the bio. But if you spell it right the first time and you're an English native speaker, Joachim's promised a 50% discount off a 12. No, I'm joking. Dude.
Yeah, it's got to be hard to pronounce. But...
man, this has been fucking awesome, dude. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man, loved it. Welcome.